Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a brand new lineup coming for you next Wednesday. You're going to want to check that out. Really excited to be moving to the drive time slot. You'll be able to find me from 4 to 6 p.m. starting next Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, regular schedule. You'll find me from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network. We're talking about the decision rendered yesterday by Republican conservative jurist Harvey Wilkinson. He has criticized Roe v. Wade. He's criticized courts' intervention in matters where they overrode laws adopted by legislatures. He has advocated for the executive branches, the president's authority to capture, quote, capture those who take up arms against the United States. Writing that following the September 11th attacks. If you doubt my statement that this guy is a Republican, capital R, frankly, capital all the way, all caps, Republican, take 5 minutes and Google him. That's who we got in this case. It is that judge that wrote the decision issued yesterday that said, no, Mr. Trump and the Trump administration, you're not going to be able to stop a district court judge from asking you to produce facts, documents, and sit for depositions to show what you're doing to comply with the Supreme Court's unequivocally clear order that you have to facilitate the return of Abrego Garcia because you violated his constitutional right to due process. So I'm going to save what I think is the meatiest, the most important portion of that decision for last. But I want to actually start with the fact that Judge Wilkinson went so far in the decision, which I have never seen in another written appeals court decision, to address the criticisms being leveled against the courts, Judge Innes in this case, Judge Boasberg, depending on who you're talking to, and sort of this moment that we find ourselves in. So here's what he had to say. I don't like reading, but when someone has written something that is more persuasive than what my summary could possibly be, I'm just going to read the original, what he wrote. So again, this is yesterday's decision. A Republican, very conservative judge telling the Trump administration, no, you're going to comply with the lower court's directions and discovery to find out what you're doing to facilitate the return of Mr. Abrego Garcia. Wrote this: the government is obviously frustrated and displeased with the rulings of the court. Let one thing be clear. Court rulings are not above criticism. Criticism keeps us on our toes and helps us do a better job. Court rulings can overstep. And remember what I just told you about Roe v. Wade and some of his other decisions? He has criticized throughout his career judicial overreach, activist judging, right? This is the guy that has always opposed that. That's why the fact that it's him saying this is so important, okay? So I'm going to return to what he said. Court rulings can overstep, and they can further intrude upon the prerogatives of other branches. Courts thus speak with the knowledge of their imperfections, but also with a sense that they will instill a fidelity to law that would sorely be missed in their absence. So, yeah, the courts can screw up, but that doesn't mean that they are not an essential component of our democracy. He continues, energy in the executive is much to be respected. Energy in the executive is just it's the Federalist term that encompasses the extraordinary powers that are vested by our Constitution in the presidency and in the executive branch of the of government, and the ability for the executive branch to move quickly, to respond to things. That's the energy in the executive. So he says, the energy in the executive is much to be respected. It can rescue government from its lassitude and recalibrate imbalances too long left unexamined. The knowledge that executive energy is a perishable quality understandably breeds impatience with the court. So he's saying, yep, courts are slow. The executive branch is fast. So yep, you can get frustrated. This happens. Courts, in turn, he continues, are frequently attuned to caution and are often uneasy with the executive branch's breakneck pace. And the differences do not end there. The executive is inherently focused upon ends. The judiciary, much more so, upon means. What he's saying is the executive branch is often just focused on result. The judiciary often has to focus and remind us that the process to get to that result, whatever it may be, is in a democracy just as important as the result itself. He continues, ends are bestowed on the executive by electoral outcomes. The means are entrusted to all of government, but most especially to the judiciary by the Constitution itself. What he just said there is like the real smart guy way of saying what you have heard me express, and I think I did so yesterday on this very show, and that is courts often protect those that didn't happen to vote for the current executive branch leader. The courts protect minorities, and I don't mean that in any racial sense, though it can include that, but those who are in a minority from the tyranny, the overreach of the majority, as expressed through election outcomes. The basic differences, he continues, between the branches mandate a serious effort at mutual respect. The respect that courts must accord the executive must be reciprocated by the executive's respect for the courts. Too often today, this has not been the case, as calls for the impeachment of judges for decisions the executive disfavors and exhortations to disregard court orders sadly illustrate. That's pretty extraordinary. He doesn't name the president, but the president's been calling for the impeachment of Judge Boasberg, which got a rebuke from Chief Justice John Roberts, but that's what he's talking about here. He's expressing the very idea that we have three branches of government and that our Constitution requires respect of each branch for the others. And what Trump has been doing is not, in that sense, in accord with America's history or constitutional traditions. So that's chunk one. That's the chunk that's about three separate but equal branches of government. Chunk two is the technicalities surrounding the interpretation of the word facilitate. Don't groan. It's actually kind of interesting. Okay. By the way, the judge starts the opinion out by calling Judge Innes, the district court judge, who's going to require the production of documents and maybe even require administration officials to sit in a deposition, swear an oath to tell the truth and nothing but under the penalty of perjury. Calls Judge Innes a fine district judge. You never see that either. So here's the technical part. The government's argument is that basically the administration can stand by and do nothing, and that satisfies the Supreme Court's requirement that they facilitate his return. Well, Judge Wilkinson ain't having that. Here's what he says. The Supreme Court's decision does not allow the government to do nothing. Hello? We need a judge to write that? But he had to write that. The Supreme Court's decision does not allow the administration to do nothing. It requires the government to facilitate Mr. Garcia's release from custody in El Salvador and to ensure that his case is handled as it would have been had he not been improperly sent to El Salvador. Facilitate is an active verb. It requires steps to be taken, as the Supreme Court has made perfectly clear. You don't get to do nothing. That's what they're doing. Donald Trump saying today he's not coming back. How is that not open defiance of the Supreme Court? The plain and active meaning of the word cannot be diluted by its constriction, as the government would have it, to a narrow term of art. We are not bound in this context by a definition crafted by an administrative agency and contained in a mere policy directive. You don't get to read the word into oblivion. You don't get to read it into a nullity. Facilitate. Okay, well, that means nothing now, so we'll do nothing. He's saying you can't do that. That's stupid. Thus, the government's argument that all it must do is, quote, remove any domestic barriers to Mr. Garcia's return is not well taken in light of the Supreme Court's command that the government facilitate his release from custody in El Salvador. Facilitation does not permit the administration to mistakenly deport someone to one of a foreign country's prisons in violation of both due process and a prior court order, and then to refuse to do anything to rectify that wrong in defiance of another court order. That's ridiculous. The judge writes, facilitation does not sanction the abrogation of habeas corpus through the transfer of custody to a foreign detention center. Allowing this would, quote, facilitate foreign detention more than it would domestic return. It would reduce the rule of law to lawlessness and tarnish the very values for which Americans of diverse views and persuasions have always stood. Let's read that last one again. He's saying that the administration's arguments about Mr. Garcia would reduce the rule of law to lawlessness and tarnish American values. That's what he's saying. So that's the second big chunk. And what I'm going to share with you when we return is what I think are the most alarming, clear, unequivocal calls to Americans of all political backgrounds, all faiths, all beliefs, to pay attention to what's happening now. It is the language that Judge Wilkinson, a man who does not engage in judicial activism, that has a very healthy, well-documented 40-year career of respecting the power of the executive branch, a conservative, a Republican. The words of Judge Wilkinson yesterday that tells America we are looking into the abyss. And what he asks us to do as Americans, not directly because he can't do that in a judicial order, but what he is by implication asking each and every one of us to do is to care about our most basic and most closely held values as Americans, if not as a country that has always believed in the innate dignity of every human being. I'm going to share what I consider to be some of the most powerful words written in modern American jurisprudence when we return. My name's Maggie Dawn, everybody. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.